Now, stage Jordan Lear. Clap it up for Jordan.
Thank you. Right on. Give it up for the last one. Yeah. All the comments. Don't give it up for a while. There's no one to give it up for. I was imagining my life after 13 years of comedy and audience, and they are not here. You know what? This is better. You know what? The whole last decade of doing comedy, everyone just hated my shit. This is neutral. This is great. I like the ghosts. I fucking dig it. Woo! This is Buddhism at its fucking best.
Is a fucking flat circle. Them kids are gonna be in that room again and again. Time is a dude. True Detective season one is like the new Departed. That's what's up. What Departed was for men in 2006, which replaced Fight Club from 1999. That's what True Detective Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson. Took me a minute there, sorry. Yeah, that's the that's the default God thing. Time's a flat circle. You know? Where's your mother? She's tired from fucking my father. You know, it's like the same. It's interchangeable. Fucking... with your daddy the fucking donkey on the weekends. I don't know. It has nothing to do with what I was gonna fucking talk about. Ain't gonna be in that room again. Listen, if you come to this podcast, it's alternative content. So sorry if there's a swerve off the bat. I don't prepare the shit off the bat. I just got this in me. I'm like, I'm gonna get another episode, and I fucking write down a thing of notes of what I'm gonna say, and it's incoherent, mostly. It's incoherent and it's coercive, if I might say so myself. I'm manipulating myself like a mind trick into thinking this is going to just hit sometime. What the fuck am I doing that voice? I don't know. Welcome to the Jordan Lear program. That's what I meant to say. A to D boy. Fuck. Welcome to the Jordan Lear program, episode 84. It Willie style, when Lyoto Machida fucking took down Tito Ortiz, but not before Tito Ortiz caught him in a triangle. Or Joe Rogan be like, Tito Ortiz almost caught him in a triangle. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Whew. I think I was at a jiu-jitsu tournament. I went to one jiu-jitsu tournament in my life and competed in NAGA, North American Grappling Association, in Chicago, in like Evanston, I think that's right. Evanston, that's right. That's the name of a town there. You fuck yeah. I went to a tournament there, took second place. I didn't get a sword. They give out swords to everyone else. I got first place. I got second. Barely knew what I was fucking doing. Still whooped some ass. Anyways, who fought for the title? That was Sean Sherk versus BJ Penn. Am I wrong? Yes, because BJ Penn beat Joe Daddy Stevenson, at UFC 81. If you don't know, I go on this random inside joke with myself on each episode of the Jordan Lear program, where the number, I think of the classic UFC number, because I used to watch these UFC pay-per-views in the early 2000s, you know, in UFC 84, that's what I'm talking about, and no one knows what I'm talking about. But someone might, someone will, you know. As a police officer once told me a long time ago, allegedly, or this is a story actually about my cousin's friend or somebody that they, or somebody else, but they told me, they go, hey, I put out content too, and if one of them pops up, pops off, you know, you have all that content that they're going to go back and rewatch. So thank you for that, Mr. Watterson. Okay, episode 84. What the fuck is that talking about? That's good shit. Yeah, BJ Penn whooped Sean Sherk's ass, ran up on him with like a fucking running knee or something. I thought he did something like that. He beat some ass. That was so cool. BJ Penn's the greatest fighter of all time. If you don't know that, so is Nick Diaz. So is Nate Diaz. So fun back then. I wonder if it was fake. It's probably always been fake. It's always been a work. Everything's a work. All right, episode 84. What was the theme of this episode? Be a tourist. I went out on the town, New York City, last week, and I'm tired. You know, you got to do everything you got to do in life. You got to fucking skedaddle along. You got to get all your fucking steps in, see the sights. I'm like addicted to seeing sights. That's my fucking problem, man. My phone died, but that's for the best because I was talking about UFC and there's nothing to do with this episode. This episode is about the theater. I went to the theater last weekend, my darlings. I went to the theater and saw Edward Izzard perform their one-person show about Hamlet, where they read every fucking part of Hamlet by Billy Shakespeare. Jeez, have you ever sat through five acts of Hamlet? Have you? You have? I bet some of you have. Some people have, okay? Have you ever sat through five acts of Hamlet in New York City where one person does every single line of every character, line by fucking line, like they fucking, to be or not to be, it's not, fucking, you know, one character enters and then he walked across the fucking, I went out on the town. And that's why I live in New York City, you know, the theater. It's, you gotta go to the fucking live theater, okay? And you go for the good shit, you go for the bad shit, you go for the boring shit, you go for moments, okay? And it's real and it's visceral. And yeah, you might fall asleep in your fucking chair. I almost do every time, but I also come away with something like, I don't fucking forget, you know, including the two fucking annoying people behind me that were smart laughing at every joke to let everyone in the theater know that they've seen this fucking production like seven fucking times and they're here to laugh at the alternative fuck of it. And I am too, but fuck you in my ear. The fucking dumb bitch fucking whacked me with her fucking Stanley cup on the way in and sits down with her dumb frumpy fucking face. You know. It's hard not to be mad at ugly people when they're rude to you, okay? And that's the old, that's a plight that is hard to fucking say to society. There's no support groups for this. There's no support group out there for me to be like, hey, what about the ugly people that are rude? Fuck you. No one knows what I have to go through all the time. When ugly people are rude to me, and I was trying to be nice, and I feel so sorry for them because they're ugly, and then they're rude to me, and I'm like, I want to fucking punch you now, bitch. It's hard to have humility in this world with ugly people. I'm just kidding. I'm as ugly as all of them, man. I'm as ugly as they get. Mine's just on the inside, okay? That's not true. I got a heart of gold. You know what? And I do a little filter over this. You barely see it because I'm pretty good at filmmaking. But my skin hasn't been up to fucking par. Past 2 years of my life, I'm going through this weird puberty thing. Yeah, I'm as ugly as I've ever felt. I'm as strong as I've ever felt. Look at that fucking bicep. But, you know, You know, I'm not going to show it because I'm vain. I'm going to put a little filter over so you'd barely see, but I've been breaking out a lot this year. I've been trying too much. I don't know. Anyways. I went to Eddie Izzard's Hamlet. That's what I was saying. Yeah. I took my girlfriend to Edward Izzard's Hamlet. I wanted to go to see a Broadway show. I haven't seen a Broadway show in less than a year. I saw Peter Pan Goes Wrong with my mama last time she was in town. And so I go down. Here's the trick of Broadway, if you want to know. If you wanted some cheap tickets and you don't know what to see, this, because I never know what to see either. I didn't know what was playing. I knew that Jeremy fucking Strong was in some shit that some protesters stood up and interrupted, and I wanted to try and see that. But anyways, I go down to, what street is it? Is it 47th Street? I think it's like 47th Street. It's TKDS. Is that right? It's where you see these red bleacher fucking things. It's right in the middle of Times Square in New York there. There's also a spot at Lincoln Center that is way shorter line if you can find your way to 66th Street. Anyways, go to this place. Sometimes it's a long-ass line. You get tickets for the same day or the next day. They should be. Hey, guess what? You're a sponsor this episode. Well, early before my sponsor segment, douchebags. I'm making a good entertainment. Not douchebags. I like you guys. What I called you? I didn't mean to say that. I'm saying that because you're not going to pay me, you fucking. And give me some freebies. TKDS. You can get tickets for like shows playing that day or the next day for like 25% off, sometimes half off, sometimes cool shit, sometimes shit. I don't know. That's how I always get shit. And I go down there and nothing interests me, honestly. I don't know. Just for the price, I think, you know, I'd like to see Book of Mormon sometime. Of course I would do Lion King or Aladdin some fucking time. I'm not going to do the Office parody. I'm not going to do the fucking Beetlejuice musical. You know, I'm not going to do Back to the Future fucking musical. You know, well, it's just nothing got me. So anyways, walking with the lady. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe we'll come back tomorrow. Maybe we'll get one for one of these bullshit ones we don't want. But just to go to the fucking theater. So we diddle on down and we walked to the East Village of New York City. Where the fuck's East Village at? I'm trying to think about street numbers. Whatever. Fucking the Avenue sections. Avenue A. Blah, blah, blah. Just before that. First Avenue and that shit. Lower East Side. And we're walking by cool theater I've never noticed before called the Orpheum. I think it's been like a movie theater a lot in its day too. I think it's what I'm hearing. I need to do a little research. Probably should have before this podcast. Anywho. I see it's got Eddie Izzard playing. Eddie Izzard is a comedian, I know, because when I was like 15, I went out to Arizona, and I stayed out with my aunt and uncle and my cousin, Max, he's my age. He had Eddie Izzard's special. And I forget which one he had. I think he had Eddie Izzard stripped. It was like a new one that came out. And I watched it, and Eddie Izzard is a, you know, they categorize themselves in certain specials because it's way old school terminology. They're transgender. I think they go by she. They used to go by he. He uses the term transvestite, you know, in previous specials in like fucking early 2000s. Anywho, not that that's the term. Transgender own thing. He's got a fucking way of going about it. He said he goes, I'm tomboy lesbian. I don't know. Doesn't really matter at all. This motherfucker is so fucking hilarious and so fucking smart. And I've just knew them back in the day. And obviously I remember them because if they were not a, I'm not going to use the term crossdresser because Eddie makes a fucking specific point in their special that I just watched to say, I'm not a crossdresser. I'm a transvestite, which by the way, there's it. And I'm not saying they would hold up to that same terminology. Anyways, having nothing to do, obviously I remembered it because it was just like dude in heels, you know, at the time and fucking spitting off wild shit, like the very like punk rock, like counterculture type shit. And smart, like talking about politics, but being like, oh, this is fucking bullshit, you know, in an English accent. Anyways, my cousin was a big fan. I think my uncle was a big fan. It was funny as fuck, and I'll never forget it. Walking on the fucking Lower East Side. and I see Eddie Izzard Hamlet. Okay. Light bulbs start flinging off. Number one, it's cool little theater. And I'm like, Eddie Izzard. And I'm like, oh, to see in the flesh? I was like, I remember they're a big deal. And when someone's a big deal from Europe, it sticks around a while in your head. Because they're, you know, most of the fucking famous people in the world are, you know, they're American. They just are. They're Americans. And if they're English, they're doing an American accent. That's what we fucking, you know, Heath Ledger's doing American movies and shit. And fucking, Robert Pattinson's using his American accent and shit. Anywho, I remembered Eddie Izzard. And obviously, I love Shakespeare because it's complicated and I barely understand it to be. I shouldn't say I barely understand it. I fucking know a thing or two about Shakespeare. But it's cool because it's timeless and it's got a rhythm to it and it's poetic and the iambic pentameter, you know? Come Antony and young Octavius, come, revenge yourselves alone on Cassius, for Cassius is weary of the world, hated by one he loves, brave by his brother. Check like a bondman, all his faults observed. Set in a notebook, learned and conned by rote, to cast into my teeth, oh, I could weep my spear from mine eyes. There is my dagger, and here my naked breast, within a heart dear than Plutus' mind, richer than gold. If that be that, fuck, if that thou beest a Roman, take it forth. I that denied thee gold will give my heart. Strike as thou didst at Caesar, for I know when thou didst hatest him worst, thou lovest him better than that fuck thou ever loved Cassius. Anyways, I like Shakespeare. I do. So I walk in there with my girlfriend and I ask the ticket booth lady. I say, what's the deal on fucking Eddie Izzard Hamlet? Is he really doing the shit? Is it a one-man show? She's like, yo, one-man show? He's doing all the parts. Yeah, it's Eddie Izzard. It's live tonight, tomorrow night. I'm like, okay, we're coming tomorrow night, Saturday. We're doing it. So we walk down. We go to Chinatown. We get some fucking Japanese ramen. You got to get Japanese ramen in Chinatown. It's good shit. They bring it right out in 2 fucking seconds. It's the best ramen you've ever had in your fucking life. We take the fucking train up, and we walk over to the Lower East Side again. And then we grab a drink at some snooty fucking overpriced bar. 2 drinks for fucking $25. Some horseshit fucking bullshit. And then we walk into the fucking theater. And we got back of the seat tickets for, you know, whatever. And then they move us up because it ain't sold out. And they move us to like half the way. And I'm like, isn't this living? You're in this fucking cramped seats shit. But it's like a cool old theater. And chick whacks me on the fucking head with a water bottle because she's frumpy ass and she's rude and doesn't apologize, and she's laughing in my ear all smart like she's fucking smarter than me. She's fucking seen Hamlet too many fucking times, and it's my first time seeing Hamlet live, and she's got to be a bitch and rub it in like I don't fucking belong, and I ain't like that bitch. I'm not the one that fucking broke your heart, man. I got my heart broken 6th grade too, man. I got dumped at the 6th grade dance once. You've been dumped to the 6th grade dance. Me and my buddy Anthony Miller, we both got fucking dumped at the same time by girlfriend. There's our girlfriends, and they're friends, and you know, we're all still Facebook friends, really. And they're just married, and everyone's married with kids. I'm not married, but you know, I got my, I found a girl I love, so it's all good. But anyways, what was I saying, man? I'm sitting there watching Eddie Izzard's Hamlet. And I don't know how it's going to go. I'm so excited. And I'm like, whether it's good or not, it's going to be fucking something. Because Eddie Izzard's like a badass. And Shakespeare's badass. And I'm thinking, here's my prediction. My prediction is Eddie Izzard's going to come out there and do the parts. But in between, Eddie Izzard is going to like talk to us and do stand up and explain what's fucking going on. And we sit down. First of all, it's like a cool set because it's like all just like this marble. It's like marble wall, marble flooring, like square looking. And the lighting changes with it, basically. But it's like well lit. It's not like black box. It's like well lit and marble, you know. Fucking Eddie Izzard comes out. And like, I wish I knew the opening line. Some of my fucking friends would, Ben Horowitz would fucking spit it out to me right now. I'm sure he would. Anyways, Eddie Izzard comes out and pretty just casually says the first line by the first character and then steps to the other fucking line and kind of softly, not even like hugely projected, just starts it. Just starts going. And like, you're watching. It's very, you know, once a play starts, that's the cool thing about being a play where it's very live. You're like, all right. You're waiting for them to mess up, dude. Everyone goes to the play waiting for them to mess up. Tell the fucking truth. Tell the truth, Ruth. That's the double truth, Ruth. As fucking Raising the Sun would say. Yeah, you're watching the train go by to watch an accident. And we're watching it, and I'm like, how's this going to go? Because he does stand-up, and she's fucking doing all the parts, man. And Shakespeare, but here's the thing. Shakespeare's funny. Shakespeare's got drama. And Shakespeare's got all this shit. Starts going, and you're watching, you're just entertained to shit. And then you're just impressed. Because Eddie Izzard is just saying every fucking line. And then you're like, ooh, can I... What time did this show start? Hold on. This is for fucking 3 hours. You're like, is he going to say it on cue? Is he? How long is this? Because, whew. But then it starts being, like, annoying. No, don't let me forget that part. The fucking frumps behind me going, and me trying to keep up with who the characters' names the fuck are and all this shit. And I know Hamlet. Hamlet's like Lion King. You know, it's like the dude's dad dies because the uncle kills him and marries his mom. And he's fucking got to try and say, this is bullshit. All, you know, this is bullshit, uncle. This is bullshit, mom. Fuck you. I'm leaving. That old story. Anyways, to be or not to be. That is the question. But then he has like moments. And that's all. I don't know. I was annoyed. I almost fell asleep a few times. However, he does every character and occasionally pulls out his hand to be like two barons or like servants. And they all like, my lord, my lord. And the first time he does it, he literally puts his hand out. He's like, my lord. He talks to it. But then in the in character, he starts talking to himself a little bit about his life and the hand like turns his head. It's like animated. And I'm like, holy shit. This is fucking amazing. I don't know what to. Something about his physical way of communicating without words. That's what it is. It's about Eddie Izzard's way of communicating with his body language, his, her, they. And at the same time, being pretty casual and just composed and very just themselves. You know, that's why whenever you fucking judge people on stage or you try to tell any artist a way to be, it's like, fuck you, man. No, just let them be themselves, you know? Anyways, rips in this whole thing, fucking does the fucking, like, sword fight, does this epic sword fight where he's, like, stabbing one side of the stage and then jumping onto the other to react to it and then fighting back. It's fucking, like, impressive. And you know what it brought me back to? It makes you realize the stripped-down nature of theater and imagination and how to build verisimilitude. I like that word. Because I love, like, reading something and, you know, thinking of the images. I love watching a table read, you know, you hear the audio and, you know, you sort of imagine it. And you watch it on stage and they do some of the imagery for you. But like you do have to do a lot of work yourself, no matter what you're doing. And then you take it to the next level where someone's acting it on stage, but they're doing all the parts. So you kind of, you're imagining it on top of what they're doing the entire time. You know what I mean? Does that make fucking sense? It was incredible. My lord, the smart, I don't know, man. To be or not to fucking be, you know? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing in them to die to sleep no more. And by sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, tis a consummation devoutly to be wished to die to sleep. To sleep perchance, to dream. For in that sleep what dream of death may come, when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life, but must give us pause. There's respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the insolence of office, the law's delay, and the spurns that patient merits of the unworthy keeps when he himself might as quiet as meet with a bare bodkin, who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from his born, no traveler returns. Puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. That's not the fucking right line. Makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. The fuck is the next line? I know it now. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sickly over with the pale cast of thought and enterprise of great pith and moment. With this respect, the currents turn awry and lose the name of action. Mostly right. Soft you now, the fair Ophelia, nymph in thy orisons, be all my sins remembered. That last part, that fucking softy now, fucking nymph in thy orisons. Most people don't say that in the monologue. I don't know. I'm sure I fucked up a bunch of it. Obviously, well, I did. Eddie Izzard, when he fucking did it, he got to one line. I forget which line he didn't say. But that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from was born. Maybe that or something. I don't know. He skipped over something. But, like, when you watch Shakespeare, there's different ways to do Shakespeare because there's actually different texts and there's arguments over, you know, people adding text or making it differently. And then they're saying he wrote it in a certain way so you could transfer or people could cut each other off and you could jump around and whatever. He's like, just fucking do it, you know. It's more like Monday Night Raw than you thought, honestly. Anyways, I was watching it when Eddie Izzard did it, and it was badass. I say, no, he pretty much did it, just did it, which you should do. You shouldn't think about Shakespeare too much. You should just do all your preparation and just fucking do it. Same with all acting, really. Eddie Izzard does it, and he skips over a line that I know in my head he skips over. And someone who was sitting next to me, who also got moved up and who worked as an usher at the other theaters, because I know people that do that, that are ushers at theaters, and when they can't fill seats, they text them in a hurry. They text the fellow ushers, and they're like, hey, if you want to come watch this show for free, we could use somebody, especially for the first act. Just feels better, looks better. And most people, you know, they're theater nerds, you know, like myself. I would take it up on that, you know. He says next, and when Eddie fucking skipped a line on To Be or Not to Be, I was like, ooh. I think it was Undiscovered Country from Is Born or something. And the fucking dude to my left, my right, goes, and just shakes his head. Granted, they also did that like two or three times, and I don't know if it's because they were tired or if they were unnerved or maybe they just had a thing where they did that once in a while, but it made me feel smart for a fucking second. Fucking Eddie Izzard. Ah, yeah. Izzard the Wizard. Izzard the Wizard. To be or not to be, that is the question. It's all about action. So that speech is about, apparently. Some people say it's about suicide. It's fucking to be or not to be. It's about whether to live. Whether to live down the path you're going. Whether to live, period. You know, to be or not to be. That is the question. Like, are you going to do this? Are you going to stay in this toxic relationship? Are you going to stay at this job you don't like? Are you going to stay in this city you don't like? You're going to fucking move on and get on some good shit. Be like, I love what I do when I wake up. I love who I'm with. I love who I talk to. I love who I spend my time with. I love the reactions I get. I love life. Hell, I get high on it. On life. I just get down on drugs. Okay? It's my secret to life. I never fucking forget it. WO for life. Don't turn your back on the wolf pack. Next segment.
Take you away. You work forever and you never get paid. And I said, fuck this. Fuck this. I don't need that shit. I said, when they say,
Again, sports. It's track season. It's baseball season. You're not hitting enough fucking dingers? Get out there and fucking get a fucking Easton. Get a 33-30. Get one of the big sticks, bitch. Quit swinging that 28-32. I don't care if it's got dents in it and the fucking grip on the fucking handle just smells like meth because some meth head was just hitting golf balls with it into his fucking cow field till fucking 7 a.m. on Christmas Day. Get the fuck out there to play it against sports. Get yourself a mitt. Get yourself a cup. Get yourself a cup that belongs to a 30-year-old that turned it in and found his old sports equipment. He's like, I'm going to get my shit together and move it out, but I'm trying to sell everything for a penny first. Get to fucking play it against sports if you know it's good for you. I'll be there. I'll be a play it against sports, getting a catcher's mitt. Going out for every varsity fucking baseball team there is. Don't think I couldn't throw to second base, bitch. I'll get you out. And I'll get you in to play it again. The fuck am I talking about? Fan comments. On to fan comments now. I like to, you know, anytime someone says anything digitally on my content, I'm so, you know, you gotta be appreciative for what you got. Just love fans. I love fans. Let's be honest here. Fans love me. They do. I posted my reel on YouTube and Instagram, a bunch of shit, and someone commented, "Hope he got famous." Yeah, well, don't you think if I fucking was that you fucking would know that shit? You know my fucking name, or you fucking don't. I fucking hope he got famous. Oh shit, this is some actor trying. No one likes Leonardo DiCaprio. They like the guy that's fucking not going to make it. But they don't want the guy to make it to become the new fucking thing. They're like, I can't remember two names. I can't get two fucking names in my fucking twisting. I just want you to get famous. I don't want you to actually get famous. I want to want. I don't know. Thank you for the support. Last podcast, I was talking about the new Roadhouse movies. The old one with Swayze and the new one with Jake Gyllenhaal, both of them. And someone commented, Swayze could beat both their asses. There's two ways that, like, we live in an age where I can't tell if someone's being ironic or not. Because if it's someone you know, they're probably like, they're, like, using the voice in their heads. Swayze could beat both their asses, but they're just, like, fucking around of, like, I love him. They're the guy that, like, is trying to do gay shit with you when you fucking get drunk with your friends. Like, I want to fuck you and beat your ass, bitch. That fucking gay shit. But, dude, in the 90s, like, I don't know. I grew up in the 90s, and I know then and definitely before then. Before too much Ultimate Fighting got established, people used to talk a lot of shit. Like, they're like, Jean-Claude Van Damme could beat anyone's ass. You know, this is the Bill Burr thing. I mean, it's Bill Burr's bit in Philly about how their most famous boxer is a fictional dude, you know? It's like there's Muhammad Ali, and then there's Rocky, and then there's Floyd Mayweather, you know? And when someone's like, Swayze could beat both their asses. Like, this was 1995. Guys were getting in legitimate fights talking about which movie star could fucking kick. So they're like, you know what? Sean Connery. There's no way he could beat up Keanu Reeves. No fucking way. Not in 1999. Keanu Reeves, you tell me you couldn't kick Sean Connery's ass? You know, and some Irish guy at the bar is freaking the fuck out, you know? He's like, don't make me bring fucking, what's his fucking name into it? Daniel Day-Lewis. DDL! All right. Thanks for the comment. I didn't write anyone's names down, not this time. Next comment. It was a little mean. Next comment. This isn't funny. Try again. Fuck you. You didn't even do my homework twice. You already told me it sucked. I'm like, oh. Maybe if you told me it was good, I'd do it again. Fuck you, you fucking asshole. Next comment. Is this supposed to be a comedy routine? No. It's not comedy. It's not a comedy routine. It's a cry for help, you dumb fuck. Duh. Next comment. You can keep doing comedy if you're good. That's fine. I mean, yeah, you can keep doing comedy in prison. I was in a fucking jail cell once. Fucking biggest laughs I ever fucking got. Does that mean you can keep doing it? I don't know. Fucking certain point, Bubba's going to tell you to shut the fuck up and you got to forget find your way out of there and get back to the fucking tea and coffee shops. Not everyone has the same path, bro. Next comment. Bro said a whole lot of nothing. If you don't like your comedy job, stop whining. Job? You know, job means you get paid. It means you don't fucking pay $5 for fucking per time you do it. Who the fuck? What? Are people so delusional about the arts? I think people are fucking on a different atmosphere of thought whenever it comes to the arts. you see someone who's badass and you're like, oh, they must get at least $20,000 a year from that, you know? No, you pay that just to fucking do it. What are you talking about? What are you talking? Playoffs. Fucking job. Comedy job. You talking about comedy job. Trying to fucking get paid for a goddamn set instead of fucking paying $5 per six. I'm going up tonight. I'm going to pay $6 for it. I'll tell you that. Not including the train and all the fucking shit and whatever. The whole day that goes involved in. If you really want to do economics on your ass, I'll put some thugonomics on your ass. I won't. No, I definitely won't. Somebody said you're definitely trolling. That's true. Next comment. You're genuinely not funny. You rely on low-hanging fruit and shock value statements. Try coming up with actual material. Now, this person, they said this to me, which is great. Just number one. And they're, I was just more baffled. I'm like, what comedy are you watching? Like, why am I in your algorithm? Why do you get such shitty shit? You know, I don't get my own comedy. I get good shit. Why are you fucking getting this shit? You know? What you, I'm more worried about you, man. I'm not even in my algorithm. You got me in your algorithm? I'm worried about you. So I went to their page. And they play in some fucking, like, religious band. And they, like, they're a badass musician. And they just do, like, worship to God stuff. So they worship to God, and then at night they go just talk shit to comedians who are in their algorithm that they don't like. And I don't know how to feel about it because I don't have a big audience, so I got to be grateful for what I got. So I was just like, you're a great musician. God bless. Thanks for saying something. It's got to be me. No such thing as bad conscience. I got it. When they say you're so crazy. That was great. Next segment. You sleep in terror and dream all day. When they say welcome back to the program. Now for the segment of the program. The list of all the fucking things that I wrote down that I watched. All the movies, TV shows, documentaries. I watch it, docs. Stand-up, books, everything I read, listened to, read. Fucking feel some Virgo shit. Lady, only wonder. I have a girlfriend. Just you, baby. Is that some Virgo shit, baby? Is it? No? I'll text you after this. movies. Here's every movie I watched. The movie content has gone down. I'm fucking J-Dog's been working. Fucking working. And shit. Trying to work. Movies. I watched The Godfather Coda, which I've never sat down and watched in its entirety. And I didn't this time either. I just fell asleep fucking watching it. I just know it's got the fucking scene that like Frank Caliendo is like recreated, and everyone else like, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in, or some shit like that. Fucking, I remember the acting teacher that really changed things for me when I was super young, Jeremiah Comey. Fuck, I'm like, when I was 21, I saw this guy out in LA, and it changed my whole fucking thought process as like acting and being yourself as an art. And later, fucking rediscover through Bill Alderson and Meister. Anyways, Jeremiah Comey, he used to say about Al Pacino, he goes, in the 90s, he was just so coked out of his mind, you know? He was still good. He was still good. But he was just so coked out of his mind. Which he is in this third Godfather Coda movie with, what's the whole thing on this? It stars Sofia Coppola. Okay, Francis Ford Coppola, the director's niece, right? And Nick Cage is Francis Ford Coppola's nephew, too, by the way. Okay, nepotism. And it's years later, and it's the death of Michael Corleone, and it's his daughter. She plays Al Pacino's daughter, and Andy Garcia, is that the fucking actor's name? Yeah. He's like, he's her cousin. He's related to the family, too, so he's in the family business, the mob, but he also wants to bang her, and it's like, I remember looking up comments, and someone was like, you Americans are so old-fashioned, or like, so, I don't know. Was that the term you use? It's like, you're old-fashioned. That ain't fucking, that's weird. It's a big thing. The cousins bang in this fucking, get down in this fucking movie. It's weird. What the fuck, man? It's not cool. As Mark Wahlberg would say in Boogie Nights, that's not sexy. Anyways, I watched The Godfather Coda, or kind of did. I fell asleep to it. Next, I watched Hitch. I watched Hitch casually. My lady was in town. We were going to the Statue of Liberty. And I was like, well, if we're going to the Statue of Liberty while I'm getting ready, I'm going to watch Hitch. You know what I mean? Get it going. The Ellis Island thing. Or kicks her in the face when he's on the fucking jet ski. Hitch is good. Then I watched Hope Floats. Hope Floats. That is a great movie. Hope Floats, starring Sandra Bullock, okay, who is a treasure of across all ages, but especially as a late 90s, early, mid-90s darling. Like, she's fucking leading woman to the T in the movies. This movie is directed by Forrest Whitaker, who is like, you know, he's won the Academy Award for Best Actor. He's got the weird eye, you know. He's got a lot of shit, and he directed this movie, which is like, it's amazing, dude. It's got the Leave It to Beaver kid. It's got the kid that plays the 90s Leave It to Beaver fucking kid. Dude, it's epically, I don't know. It's like a play. It's like a play. It reads like a play. He directed it like a play. Like, it's like Death of a Salesman level drama. Hope Floats, Sandra Bullock. The Leave It to Beaver kid. The girl, the frumpy-looking fucking girl. See, that's frumpy girl. It's not so annoying, you know? She had to learn about life her own way. Fucking mom had to let her learn it. Watch the fucking dad be a shit-ass. Fucking run away. Doesn't want to spend time with her. He's got to go try to get his dick on with some fucking 10 years younger, repackaged version of his fucking wife he fell in love with. And that shit's going to get old after a week, you dumb motherfucker. You dumb motherfucker. Oh, you want the same girl, but like the 10-year younger version. Real original, you piece of shit. You dumb fucking fuck. How about try building on the fucking foundation on you got? That's why you sink. Your hope sinks, you fuck. Okay, it doesn't float. It doesn't float like a fucking river, like Sandra Bullock and Love Potion number 9 and Tate Donovan from fucking The O.C., you know what I mean? Ryan Atwood and fucking Seth Cohen and fucking Adam Brody really dated Rachel Bilson for a minute. And it's cool. And they were probably all hooking up. And I know whenever I moved to Hollywood, they called the cops on fucking that chick who played Marissa because she was having a mental breakdown. I hope she's doing okay. Rachel Bilson has a podcast. And I know Rachel Bilson was fucking banging Bill Hader for a minute, but he's banging Ali Wong, and they're kind of quiet on that. So it's probably just some award ceremony thing where she's going through a divorce, and she's like, yo, Bill, if I fucking, let's fuck. And he's like, yeah, I could use some fucking heat too. I'm kind of on my way out and some shit. I got to fucking fuck too. And it was just a show. They kissed after every time she won the award for Beef, that show that was like good enough, but it kind of sucks. Stevie Yoon is from Kalamazoo, but he's kind of, he's gay. He's not like Buddy's gay. He just is. He came out as gay, or maybe it was one article, it was a false article. But he's from Kalamazoo. He's voice of Invincible. Invincible. What was like? I don't know if I should have said anything. I just said. And then I watched some 007 movies. I can't pay attention to any 007 movie. I like them, and I like them because I can't pay attention. And it's a great background movie for me. I can't fucking do it. But I watched Skyfall, The World Is Not Enough, and From Russia With Love. Okay? I watched them. He's got the gadgets. Here's my thing with 007 movies. I like the parodies more, you know? I like Austin Powers more than I like 007. I don't know what to do about that. I do. She makes me haunty, baby. Yeah. She makes me Randy. Get in my... Like, I saw all the fucking... You know, there's three Austin Powers movies. There should be seven. And I saw them. And I understood at the time that they were referencing something. But I've never watched it, and I've sat down a few times to watch 007. I don't know. I like GoldenEye. I like The World Is Not Enough on N64. You know, I like the short fucking Asian dude, that odd job that sits in the stalls that you can just, you know. Not an advocate for gun violence. It's not good. I just like those video games, by the way. Those are the movies. I watch James Bond movies. Every year I try spreading the arsenal, watching a little Jimmy Bond, mixing it up a little bit. Mission Impossible is the superior action movie. And I'm not going to fucking deny that Mission Impossible is like just trying to be a copy of James Bond and do it better. But Tom Cruise is my dad, so go fuck yourself. That's how I feel. And I'm going to say that to everyone. I told it to the cops a long time ago. I said, Tom Cruise is my dad. Go fuck yourself. Jackie Chan's my uncle. So go shit on yourself, you piece of shit. That's what I said. So you take it or leave it, buddy. Allegedly. That was a story I heard about a cousin or some shit. Not me. I misspoke back then. I didn't mean any of that shit. This is a comedian. It's all comedy. Those are all the movies I watched. Television. I watched Sex and the City. Rewatched it. There's nothing better than being in New York, getting ready, watching Sex and the City, and getting ideas, you know? Because they talk about locations, you know? About the snooty-ass Soho hoes, or the fucking low-rent Lower East Side losers, or the Upper West Side widening out. Is that racist? I don't mean it like that. There's good food on the Upper West Side. That's what I'm trying to say. Upper East Side assholes, that's for sure. White. Real white. You go to Queens, where you find the workforce. There's the rich workforce inward, and the poor workforce outward. Out. Inland. I don't know the proper... Sex and the City is a great show. Carrie's a train wreck. Carrie deserves big, and she deserved to watch him die. She didn't get to watch him die. She found him dead. She should have watched it. You deserve to watch it, Carrie. You're toxic. You're a train wreck. You get in your own fucking way. You're the main character of the show. And for a long time, I watched Sex and the City, and I falsely identified myself with Carrie, and I had to grow past that, and I had to realize I'm not fucking Carrie, and I don't have to root for her. I'm more of a Miranda. I'm even more of a Samantha, and definitely more of a Charlotte than Carrie's fucking leading fucking ass. And actually, I love this show, and I love these things. It's something you have to figure out for yourself, but like, I am not her, and she has her own problems, and I'm not rooting for her to get with Aiden, because Aiden is a good guy, and she doesn't deserve him, and I hope Aiden's doing well. And hoping they bring him back, he fucking dumps her fucking dumbass at the New York Public Library. Deep cut. That would be good. All right. TV. Watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. People are going nuts about the last episode, how it ended. I haven't been there yet, but I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, it's really funny. But I haven't watched like three of the seasons. I just haven't. I don't know. But I'm in the best spot because of that, because I have so much. But I don't know. Just casually watching the old Curb. You know? Just casually watching it. I don't know. Been falling asleep to it. Hasn't, I don't know. Got Steve Buscemi on there. Here's a fun quip about Steve Buscemi I read. Steve Buscemi was involved in a bar fight in 2001. Him and Vince Vaughn and their producer Scott Rosenberg were working on a film in like Virginia or some shit, and it was called Domestic Disturbance, the film actually. This is 21, and Steve Buscemi got fucking he got stabbed in the eye in the bar fight, and him and Vince Vaughn got arrested and shit, and later, you know, they sued the other guys, and there's some little shit and bullshit. They got in a bar fight with some guys that were mad that they were talking to the girls and all this bullshit. Whatever. And then one of them, dude, pulled a knife on Steve Buscemi and got him in the eye or some shit. This is like pre-viral shit. That was fucking crazy. Dude, if you look up any movie star, they've been arrested for some fucking drunken bullshit. I don't know, mostly. It's not good. But also, that's the thing. When you go out and you're drunk at a bar, people try and fuck with you. They really do. When you go out, like, people try and fuck with you if they, like... if you're in the, not, most places I'd like to believe are good, but fucking a lot of places, you go to a bar and some asshole is like looking for a reason. He's like, someone look at me wrong. And like, I ain't in the place. I'm not your family. Been watching X-Men 97. Ugh. I still got an episode left of X-Men 97. You gotta hold on to your childhood. You gotta keep reinventing your childhood. That's what X-Men 97 is to me. It's a sequel series to the original cartoon from the 90s. It is a sequel. Is it an alternate timeline? There's different shit. Fucking Mr. Sinister making clones. It's a lot of good shit. X-Men 97. That's why I'm staying awake for another week. Thank you, Lord. X-Men 97. I need you. I watched Quiet on Set. There's a new episode they released. I don't know. But the entire text conversation I had with my girlfriend was so fucking funny. We were watching this at the same time. they're like, we got a new episode of Quiet on Set coming out. Rush delivery. And they got fucking Drake on fucking Zoom, you know? Yeah, it was all right. It was more, whatever. It's more drama. They could probably put out 5 episodes of him on Zoom and I would watch, but it was nothing new. Book. I started reading The Picture Dorian Gray. I'll get to a book report about that one of these years. Stand up. I watch more Eddie Izzard, Dress to Kill. Very impressed by Eddie Izzard. It's hot in my mind right now, but they're on my Mount Rushmore of best stand-up comedians of all time. Faux show. Yeah, Eddie Izzard. Watched Dress to Kill in San Francisco. Dude, Eddie Izzard left just put it all out there in, you know, their special. They're like every misspoken word, every time where the crowd maybe got quiet or didn't pop off big, like, just left it in there. And the whole special is amazing. And it's like an hour and a half of stand-up, including like an intro sort of film where he's narrating the people on the bus in San Francisco and making a whole fucking joke out of that about them going to Alcatraz. And I don't know, man. I can't can't say enough good things about fucking Eddie Izzard. Watch Eddie Izzard. I watched George Carlin jam in New York. Didn't pay attention. Music, I didn't listen to anything. Podcast, like every other man in the world, I watched Club Shay Shay, him with fucking funky hat. Cam Newton. That is a time waster. I could spend too much time wasted watching Club Shay Shay. I could seriously just zone out with Club Shay Shay and fucking True Detective. Time is a flat circle. Mixed with fucking Departed. Where's your mother? She's tired from fucking my father. Like, you know, I could just do that on that's like generational fucking thing. I could go on a fucking loop of watching the Super Bowl every year, listening to Club Shay Shay. I love Shannon Sharp. I love Shannon Sharp for some reasons. Because I love football in the 90s. He's got a funny voice. He's always been the Wendy Williams of our generation. Love it. Had Cat, you know, the Cat Williams. Bring it, you know. And I mean this with zero piece of bigotry, but when I listen to Club Shay Shay, I just feel black. Arrest me. Arrest me. Send me to jail. All right, I've already been there for less than 24 hours, but I've been busted a time or two. Fuck you, I'm leaving that in. It's my fucking life, not yours. Jay's final thought. I think that was it. I wrote this down, but I think I just already said it. So, you guys have a nice weekend. It's National Poetry Month. Get out there and fucking read some poetry. You could bring in a fucking fruit knocker. You know what I'm saying? Alright. Non-violent, non-violent. When they say you never
get old. The job is past the 10.
I don't know if you remember me at all.
You know, I do not remember you. I don't remember you, but I've been waiting. I am here. I don't know if you remember me. I'm Jordan. Jordan Lear. Jordan Lear. I'm Jordan Lear. His name. Come on. God damn it. This city once knew me. No, it didn't. It never fucking knew me. It's National Poetry Month. You guys know that? No? Well, it is. It is National Poetry Month. It is. I have a fucking poem. My dad wrote a poem. My dad is not an artist. He's a carpenter. And he, I'm gonna read it. When the fuck else would I read it? It's for you guys. Alright, my father wrote this. He's a carpenter. I'm a simple man. I like to take a shit in the dark with no one watching. Not even me. I'm like a dog. I get scared when someone sees. And then I get angry. And then I start biting. And then I start hitting your mother. And then I start drinking. And when I get through with this family, we're all gonna start healing. Maya Angelou poem, Dr. Maya Angelou. You're welcome, you uncultured fox. I'm sitting here swatting away rapists. I'm going up near last. I'll stay to the end. Probably let's get out of last. Fucking put my time in. You know what? Out of courtesy, I have 30 seconds. I have this stupid Princess Diana joke. I could tell it. I fucking won't. And I won't. I'll leave. You won't hear it, okay? Fuck Princess Diana. Thank you guys. You guys are great. I love you.
All right, guys. I'm going to die for Jordan Lear. All right, let's see. Is Louis here?